Hello and welcome to How to Be a Better DM, a part of Session Zero Studios. My name is Tanner Wayland, and I'm going to help you learn how to have a great time being a DM without stressing too much. Just enough, right? And today, hopefully, we're going to explore another interesting part. Not hopefully, we definitely are. We're going to explore another interesting part of downtime activities. This is episode 3 in the series I'm doing on that. Now, you know, what could it be? This episode, it's kind of a unique aspect. I don't know if you even thought of it in terms of like a downtime activity, but carousing. Now, if you've read in, you know, in the player's handbook, in a few other locations, they do list downtime activities, and they actually list carousing as a separate thing. If you're wondering what it is, basically it's going out on the town. It's going out to hang at local bars, listening to music, flirting it up with NPCs, you know, getting into trouble, all sorts of stuff, right? It's basically any time that your player's characters go out to have some casual entertainment, right? And you know, you might be thinking, wait, how is this a downtime activity? This just happens. And why the heck are we spending any time thinking about it? Because, we don't want to spend that much time on it, right? In fact, you might even be thinking, isn't carousing just what the players do when they want to mess around between quests? Like, isn't that just a distraction that I kind of let them have a little break and then they're back to it? Yes and no. I'm going to say yes in the way that, you know, you don't typically plan for carousing, and therefore it usually ends up being a very, you know, maybe like there's funny little stories that come from it because they're like, oh, we go to the inn, oh, we get wasted, or oh, we pick a fight and it's fun, you know, whatever. That's kind of interesting, but I mean, once again, as DMs, we are storytellers. And so even as simple as moments like downtime carousing can actually be an interesting way to introduce future plot points, future characters, to explore certain things. And that's what I'm going to kind of go over. You know, even when they're going out and whatever, you can actually do two different things for your players and for the story through carousing. The first, it's meeting new people. The second, it's introducing complications to create fun memories. Now, what does that mean? Mostly, let's go with the first point. So in terms of meeting people, you could introduce, you know, while the players are, let's say that you have your party and they go to, you know, the local club in town. You're in a bigger city. They actually have like a club. And, you know, when that happens, they could interact with some nameless waiter, some nameless bouncer, right? And that could be it. Or, and follow me on this, you could actually introduce a future character or a side character that you've had an interesting idea for, but you haven't known how to introduce them. Because let's be honest, your players usually think of NPCs as, you know, in terms of usefulness. Like, are they a merchant that I can buy stuff from or rob? are they a quest giver who, you know, they're going to be very involved for a little bit, and then I'm not going to see them again unless they have another quest, right? Unless, you know, they're a key NPC. And sometimes, you know, I think players will try harder with key NPCs. But, you know, the great thing about when they're just out, not expecting it, because that's kind of the joy of using carousing on the town as part of like storytelling, is that your players won't expect it. They're going to be like, hey, this was me. You know, you said that we had nothing to do for the night. I could have, you know, gone outside and practiced because my character's try hard, or, you know, oh, hey, let's go find someone. Let's go find a boy, a girl, flirt it up. And when that happens, they're thinking that they're taking a tangent and that they're breaking away from your story. But if you planned ahead, or if you kind of plan on your feet, then what you can do is be like, hey, here's this interesting NPC. They have a name. They have a personality. They've got an accent. They've got, you know, they seem to have, you know, their own personality and motives that isn't like solely based around what the party is doing, you know, like you would actually experience in the real world if you just met someone and kind of had a more serious altercation or connection with them. So with that in mind, maybe you're wondering like, okay, so you're saying that NPCs feel like cardboard cutouts and we need to throw out like meaningful NPCs while the players are out on the town so that what, they don't think that all NPCs are useless? No, that's part of it, because you don't want your cities to feel empty or lifeless. The other part of it is surprising the players. You're basically going to be like, hey, you're going to get a similar experience to what you're looking for, but you're going to actually get a very in-depth character that, frankly, you don't just have to come up with on the spot, because you were planning on using them anyway later on. So let's say that they did meet some kind of dangerous femme fatale person who's like flirting with one of the, you know, your characters. When that happens, you can actually be like, oh, that was really an interesting experience. And the players like move on. And then when she comes back and she, you know, is part of the town guard, or she's actually like an enemy or the villain or like a sidekick to the villain, who then you're able to like, when the players try to persuade her to be like, hey, you have to help us out, who you're working for is bad, then that persuasion check actually has some stuff behind it. Because you should think about it. Most of the time when your players are doing a persuasion or an intimidation check on pretty much anyone, it's usually happening the first time they meet them, or like the second time they meet them, right? And it feels like they haven't actually had a lot of time to build up rapport, to build up, you know, experience, like as in like, oh, do you have history with the NPC? Most of the time that's not the case, because that's the nature of D&D campaigns. You're constantly pushing, you know, your players to the next city, the next quest, the next dungeon. So basically what I'm kind of inviting you to do is make it so that your world feels living and breathing in the way that even simply going out can lead to a relationship that then comes back later. So that's kind of the why of it all, is it's going to create these really interesting moments where, you know, the party is like, hey, we had such a good time. I opened up to you, like when we were at the bar, when we were drinking, after we played that game. Why don't you help us? Like, help us unlock the cell that we're stuck in, right? Those kind of moments can happen much more naturally and more interestingly if you find a way to plant NPCs early in a way that is like not expected, in a way that your players aren't just sizing them up for what they can or can't do for you. It's like, no, they're like, you met them, they're your friend now. Or on the other hand, an enemy. Like, think about it. If your players got into like a fist fight just within like a normal, you know, bar, and suddenly, you know, the other party that they got in a fist fight with, maybe they beat them, or probably more likely they're beat up by the players and they're like, oh, you're going to get yours. And then you sit on that. And then later, one of them is like a lawyer or something who the city sent to prosecute you for breaking a law or something.
You work 8 hours a day. You spend time with your family. And when you come home, you do work around the house. And it seems that you never have as much time as you would like to prepare for your D&D sessions. Does this sound like you? Wouldn't it be amazing to have endless material prepared for your D&D sessions anyways? That's where Roll and Play Press comes in. Roll and Play Press provides D&D 5e compatible material for any type of session. Running a one-shot? Check out their One-Shot Wonders book with over 100 one-shot ideas. Getting started with a new sci-fi campaign? Get their Game Master's Sci-Fi Toolkit to have your games much more prepared with much less effort. Why reinvent the wheel? Check out Roll and Play Press at rollandplaypress.com, see what they have to offer, and get a 10% discount when you buy something by using the code BETTERDM10, that's BETTERDM10, at checkout. Give yourself just a little bit extra help so that you can continue being the world's greatest dungeon master.
Then suddenly the enemy, the middle tier/lower tier enemy, it's like, oh, we actually get to have some real, you know, there's some real stuff going on here. There's a real conflict and history once again that makes it so that the players are like, oh, freaking A, look at who this guy is, you know, and that's what you kind of want to go for there. So we've talked a bit about how, you know, when your players are out carousing, seeking for entertainment, try and get them to meet key characters that will pop up in the future. Now, next, I would say that the next important part, and I mentioned this earlier, it is you when they're out just expecting nothing, expecting to like get into trouble slash have like some good old fun. You've got to make memories by adding complications. So think, as an example, Aladdin steals a loaf of bread or an apple and he angers, you know, the guards in the street, right? Suddenly he's on a chase and that's a whole separate encounter. Or maybe the players are like looking for, you know, for a local bard to sing to them or to catch up with because one of them is a bard. And they find out that there's one playing kind of in an amphitheater area, but the bouncer wants them to, you know, pay, or they want, or they'll try and like get them in trouble because they just don't like how they look. Basically, you want to create obstacles so that the players, you know, when they go out, it doesn't feel like, oh, we're just going to go and do what we said, what we want. And the DM's going to kind of just throw out fluffy stuff, whatever you can come to mind, and we'll get what we want. No, you want to take what they said seriously, try and give them what they want, but make them work for it. Make them use their skills, their abilities, make them roll some skill checks so that they can actually get that, you know, whether it's like an actual ability where it's like, oh, it's a dance off and you have to, you know, roll your acrobatics or something to see how well you dance, whatever it is, you want to make them work for it. And by doing that, you can actually create a lot of better memories because of that. Now, another type of complications. In fact, there's an amazing list in Xanathar's Guide to Everything. They gave some suggestions that I thought was like, oh, these are golden. So, for example, you could go out in the town and you get stolen from. Specifically, it could be a key item or something that your player, like maybe you have an artificer who is like gathering parts for like a machine and they go out on the town and suddenly something gets stolen and now it's a chase and an investigation and a fight, right? That's so much more interesting than them just like, oh, I'm gonna go out for a drink, okay, cool, next day, you know. It's totally different and it makes every moment feel interesting, impactful. Other ideas that I had in Xanathar's Guide to Everything, you know, you get in a fight over something. We've kind of discussed that. And that could be a fight that you didn't start. And I kind of love this idea. I was kind of brainstorming some ideas, but, you know, your players wake up in a strange house or in jail or an inn and they don't remember what happened. Kind of like the movie The Hangover, where it's like, oh, they, you know, they wake up and they're like, what the heck? And that could be so fun where, you know, they're like, oh, we go out. And then you're like, okay, suddenly your eyes open, you know, and they're like, what do you mean your eyes open? We didn't go to sleep. And then they realize they're in unfamiliar surroundings and things get crazy, right?
Wouldn't it be nice to gamify your Dungeon Master abilities? In D&D, characters can reach level 20. So why can't Dungeon Masters? We're happy to tell you that now you can. We created the Dungeon Master Level Up Guide for you. It's a simple tool to gamify your progression to higher and higher levels of dungeon mastering. It includes Dungeon Master levels 1 to 20 with associated XP requirements, as well as a long list of Dungeon Master activities that will give you XP to get you to level 20. Each activity has a challenge rating and an XP amount. In order to level up, all you need to do is find out how much XP you currently have, find out how much you need, and then pick activities to get you there. You can get the Dungeon Master Level Up Guide for free by going to sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter. Sign up for our newsletter once you get there, and we'll email you the Level Up Guide in the first email. Finally, leveling up as a DM can be as fun as leveling up a character.
Another thing, maybe your player's like, I want to go, you know, find, you know, a partner for the evening or whatever. What if suddenly that partner's like really putting on the charm and suddenly it's a shotgun wedding, or not a shotgun wedding, but like just like an impromptu elopement of sorts. You know, they go to the local priest and it's like, oh yeah, you're, you know, roll wisdom. You failed. You're so down for this, you know, and you just get married immediately. Like, wouldn't that be so funny? Where, you know, just something typical that players will do when they're trying to act like their character, it kind of goes too far or goes in a direction that, like, hey, you said you're going to do this. It can keep going. Like, it can keep spiraling a little bit out of control, or it can have consequences that you thought I wouldn't let you as the DM, but no, we're going to do this and it's going to be hilarious or interesting. And I think there's so many different ways you can play around with this. Basically takes, you know, I think as a DM, I'm certainly looking for moments that can be very funny and very, you know, unique, and that can add some depth and flavor to the adventure. And I think that when you're in a low pressure situation, like going out on the town to carouse, you have so much power to make interesting and unique situations. So don't waste it. If their players are like, hey, I want to actually spend time doing something that isn't just a quest or isn't just working towards the big bad, then that's such a golden opportunity. So, you know, in order to make that happen, of course, you have to let them have downtime. You have to have, you know, them have time in a city or in a town or in a group of people where, you know, they don't have a quest like right then, where they don't have, you know, they don't have to be working on something, where they essentially have a free evening, and where you say like, hey, so you're back, you know, in town, it's around 4 PM. What do you guys want to do? What do you guys want to do for fun? And like kind of like actually throw the idea out there from time to time. And then when that happens, you'll be able to have a great adventure that's relatively quick, has a lot fewer stakes because you know, it's not having to deal with a big overarching campaign, and it can be more random. So invite your players to do that. Encourage them, make it interesting. And above all, let's roll initiative.